Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, we're not doing a regular episode this week. What we thought we'd do instead is Kathy is going to have a chat with Rosemary McCabe about And Just Like That Season 2. So this is exactly the kind of thing that we do over on our Patreon page. We cover TV shows and retro movies. So you can head over there to patreon.com/thecinemile to hear our recent reviews of Hijack or Persepolis, which we're just about to watch for the very first time.
We are all blissfully unaware when our lives are about to change.
Do you?
Yes, I will. And just like that, I realize you never know what tomorrow will bring.
Hi, this is Kathy, and this is The Cinemile, the podcast where my husband and I record our walk home from the movies. But today, we're not going to the movies, and my husband's not here. I am here to talk about a very pressing matter, which is, and just like that, finished this week. And I have a very special guest on to talk about it, all the way from America. Her name is Rosemary McCabe. She's the best-selling author of This Is Not About You, a memoir. And she is also the host of the podcast Meet Cute. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Nice to see you.
You too.
So today we're here for serious business. And just like that, season two has ended. Rosemary and I have both been watching it. I've been talking about it a lot over on our Patreon, and Rosemary and I have been messaging about it. And why Rosemary is such a perfect guest is because she actually, much like Ms. Carrie Bradshaw, mines personal dating experiences for writing both columns and memoirs. So it's quite something. Now, you don't have, fortunately, similar personalities in that you're not like loathsome and annoying like Carrie is. But
we do both have curly hair. That I am the Carrie Bradshaw of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
And there's a lot to talk about, so I think we need to dive in. First of all, I'm going to say full spoilers. This is a different episode than we normally have, the cinema, where we kind of talk a bit and then go into spoilers. We're going full spoilers. It's normally the sort of episode we'd have on our Patreon, but I'm releasing it on the main feed because it's And Just Like That, and it's a big deal for us. So we're going to talk about potentially seasons 1 to 6 in the city, Sex and the City. The first movie, second movie, and in my case, I also did watch all of the Carrie Diaries. I don't think we'll be spoiling
that. Oh, so did I. So did I.
So full spoilers ahead. There's so much to talk about that I've tried to make notes about what we should be covering, and it's almost impossible, really.
Can I just say before we start, though?
Go.
I don't think it's actually accurate to say spoilers because the plot of this show is truly not the point. And if it was the point, the show would be an abject failure. Like, the point is the clothes, the friendships, the kind of personalities, but plot, like, the plot has been, I would say, thin on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's been like, lots you're really of following things it to happening. Go, like,
there's been stupid things happening. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a lot of things happening that they don't really tie up, and a lot of stupid, unrealistic things happening. But you don't even care because you're watching it for the like the nostalgia and the friendships and the to see their evolving relationships and to see the moments where Carrie proves herself yet again to be the world's biggest dickhead.
And what did you think about, before we get into season two, what were your thoughts on season one?
I thought season one was poor, but I also thought they were trying to do a lot and they had a lot to do with season one. So I totally understood how they were going, you know what? We can't bring back this show as it was because it was so white and it was so out of touch. So they brought it back going, you know, we're going to introduce Shay. We're going to introduce Naya. We're going to introduce Lisa Todd Wexley as these, all these different kind of characters of color. And Seema, actually, who's absolutely my favorite of the new characters.
Mm-hmm. Same. Love
but I felt Seema. Like, I love her so much. But I felt like in season one, they were so busy trying to introduce these characters and trying to give these characters storylines of their own. Because that was a big thing with Sex and City movie one, wasn't it? That like Jennifer Hudson was quite literally Carrie's assistant. And they were like, this isn't good enough if you're trying to kind of make it more diverse. So they had to give these characters lives. And I think that like, a lot of season one was dedicated to that when that wasn't what we really cared about. But I saw why they were doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for me, one of the reasons, I agree with all that, and one of the reasons season one didn't work for me was when you kind of take it back to the core of what Sex and the City was, for me, it was always like really interesting situations that the characters would find themselves in and then how they would navigate them and discuss them with their friends. And I always in particular enjoyed the dating stuff and the sex stuff.
Yeah.
And season one was like basically a season of grief and it was a bit sad. And also it was just, they were all so wealthy that I couldn't, not that I ever, you know, related to Sex and the City as such, but they're just, it's ridiculous watching, you know, Carrie search for like $1 million apartments and swan around crying in them. It was just dull, actually. And then there was just way too many characters. And to speak about season two, I wrote out a list of all the main characters because this is absurd in a 10 series show. So we've got Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, Harry, Shay, Lisa Todd, Wexley, Seema, Dr. Naya Wallace, Lily, Brady, Steve, Anthony, and then the spectre of Big looming over the whole thing, and then we've Aiden. Now that's a lot, right?
That is a lot.
And in terms of the, and it used to be four main, and then everyone would be peripheral. But now we've got seven or eight main characters. Well, obviously Samantha's gone, and her spectre looms over it as well. But the main characters are Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, Che, Lisa, Seema, and Naya. That's seven core characters in a show.
I mean, I would also like to point out Lisa Todd Wexley's horny husband is also a character. Like, he gets far too much storyline for somebody nobody cares about.
Yeah, forgot about him. There's just so, it's just overstuffed with characters. So that's definitely a massive problem with it. There's no core, like, the core of Sex and the City was always a very tightly structured show, a little bit like Friends would have been, where you've got your X amount of main characters, you've got your A plot, your B plot, your C plot, they all come together at the end. There were like masterclasses and script writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read a really good criticism in IndieWire of this season where they said the show's just so busy looking forward and looking backward at the same time that it's not actually a show in and of itself. It's just like trying to do everything all at once. But I think I want to talk about
this
season, though. I do think this season is better than the last season. I have enjoyed it more because I felt at least there's actual situations happening and it's like back to being a situation comedy, which sounds really basic, but that has happened. And there's like actual dating season.
Yeah, 100%. And even from episode one, they really set the tone for this show is about sex. Do you remember the opening? And I mean, like, I was slightly horrified. Awful. I was like, I don't know if I'm getting older and more prudish. I don't think I am, really. But I was just like, oh, this is too much. And
it was. Way
I actually
too much.
I love Miranda's bi-curious sex line. Sorry, I love Miranda's bi-curious storyline. Or is she? You know, and like, she doesn't really know. She's, you know, she's not sure what she defines herself as. So I like that for her. But I hate Che, and I think Che has been a big problem throughout season one and season two. And when they broke up, sorry, I mean, that's a spoiler, I guess, in season two, I just was ready for them to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, why is Che still here? Why are we looking
because
at the
Che's the main character
in an animal shelter? I mean,
yeah, that's like in season, the people they used to date, like when Samantha dated Richard. Richard didn't remain in the show once Samantha and Richard broke up. But the thing with Che is, because they were introduced as Carrie's podcast co-host and a friend of Carrie's, I think that's why the show was keeping Che in. And I actually like Che more now, actually, as season two went on. But again, it's just, there's too much going on. Like, even when Miranda's like, Carrie, why are you inviting Che to your dinner party? I was like, good question, Miranda. Like, I don't think I'd like my best mate to be inviting all my exes to everywhere I go.
Excellent question. And also, we just forgot the other character who keeps coming back is the other podcast co-host whose name I can't remember. But he was at the final dinner as well.
And
so
his
he's
girlfriend.
Kind of a recurring character. His girlfriend, Smoke.
Yeah,
and ridiculous.
Yeah, this is so much going on. So when we get into the Carrie of it, right, this is just some of the stuff Carrie did this season. So she was a podcast host at the beginning of the season that she then refused to read out a podcast advertising about some vagina related product, which didn't make sense to me, given how explicit her column used to be. And then somehow the whole podcast network crashed. Now Rosemary and I both work in podcasting semi-professionally. I don't believe a podcast network would crash because one host would refuse to read an ad.
Oh, no. I think it could crash because of like bad investments. And then they could go, you know what? We're blaming that one person for not taking that $5,000 ad because that could have saved us this week. But like it obviously was going to crash anyway. But I just, the whole thing, I mean, I don't know why they clearly didn't have anyone in the writer's room who actually does podcasts for a living. Because A, if your podcast network crashed, you would just keep doing your podcast and you would try and like hustle and get different sponsors and advertisers yourself. So that's something most freelance podcasters have done. So, you know, if my network Acast, I mean, it's not going to happen, but like if they collapsed, we wouldn't just be like, oh, well, bye bye podcast. And the bit where they downloaded, was it Final Cut? Yeah. Or they downloaded some program to write the script for the ad. I'm like, you write that on the notes app on your phone and then you just hold your phone in front of you and you read it out. Like, that's not, you don't need to write a script for that. Maybe my professionalism is showing.
But I think, and I think to that point as well, Carrie's a millionaire. She's inherited millions from Big, so she doesn't even need the money. So she would have continued to do for free. So I agree with all of that. Some of the other stuff Carrie got up to this season was recording your own audiobook, I believe. Have you recorded your own audiobook?
No, I'm doing mine the week after next.
Ah, okay. Then we'll have to check back in on how authentic that was. She paid $100,000 to Enid to give her a shout out in her newsletter. That I would take if I was Enid.
Oh, sorry, 100%. But I did actually really like that episode.
Same.
I thought that episode was really interesting. It was like, it was like one of the old school Sex and the City episodes where Carrie's in like a weird situation and somebody's giving a speech and there's weird sex things going on and somebody's showing her a picture of somebody's dick. Like, that all felt very true to the original show and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so I was like, the turning point
for
me.
Back as a main character.
When that's at the end of that episode, I was like, oh, it's getting back in its stride. And I've simultaneously been watching season three, because it's just the best, of Sex and the City. And I had just watched the episode where Carrie ended up going to like an event just because Big's wife Natasha was hosting it and she wanted to show off to Natasha, and it was like the same kind of event and it just felt so into
same
it
vibe.
I think our problem though as viewers is the same problem they have in the show, which is that like we like it when it's back in a Sex and the City stride, so do they, but it's not actually Sex and the City. And I think this is a fundamental problem with it. It does not know what it is. The show is just all over the place. Like all the stuff with Carrie about like at the when she married Big, she was like, I'll never leave my apartment, it's part of me. Even in season one of it, just like that, she's like, my apartment, it's like her whole personality, right? And she keeps moving to luxury places and then moving back to the apartment. And then at the end of season two, she just is like, do you know what? I don't need the apartment anymore. I'm going to sell it to buy this new place.
But she's a millionaire. But for a man, like she literally decides, I'm getting rid of this apartment for a man, which I feel like would never have happened in the whole show. That apartment was her personality. It was the backdrop to so many moments. And for Aiden to be such a little piss baby, to be like, I'm not going back in that apartment. I got hurt in that apartment. Like, he should be not going to his cabin in the woods. He also got hurt in his cabin in the woods, right? But the whole thing, her selling the apartment, her selling to, oh, sorry, we totally forgot about Lizette, who's also a weird recurring character and had that whole storyline where her jewellery got stolen at her jewellery show.
That was the
worst.
There's a lot
that going on.
That was when I was like, I can't watch this show anymore. Like, as a writer, I have to ask you, how bad do you, the last line of every episode is so poorly written because it says, and just like that, X. And that episode truly ends with her saying, and just like that, I got COVID. Are you kidding me? How much are these writers getting paid?
You know what?
Like, her friend's stuff
actually,
is being robbed.
Yeah, but listen, Carrie doesn't care about anybody but herself. But I don't mind so much. I feel like a lot of film and TV is getting stuck on the issue of COVID, right? And is like, okay, we should acknowledge that there's been a pandemic and that the world has changed a bit and some people are working from home, but we also want to be sexy, so we don't want to include it too much. But I felt like that was actually really realistic and I was glad they put it in because I'm like, I'm living in America. People are still getting COVID left, right and center and like going out willy-nilly and like
but
not...
she was only pretending to get COVID, so she never had it.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, damn it.
It was so weird.
I was like, that would have been good if she had COVID. Why was she pretending to get COVID so she wouldn't have to go to...
to read her book, her audiobook.
Oh, you're
right. And then she screamed, I have COVID, when she's being held up at gunpoint. Like, she's just absurd. But yeah, the whole apartment thing really bothered me, I think because she's so rich now. At the end of the season, I was like, why are you selling your apartment? You could just sublet it to this girl, or let it to this girl, and... I think they just wanted to, I have a feeling they only just found out season three is being renewed. So I think they wanted to have an end to season two in case it didn't get renewed. And because it is a nice ending for Carrie to have a last supper. And that was the whole title art of the film, of the series, and saying goodbye to the apartment. Like, I get all that. But now
that
they're going into season three, it's weird.
I felt like the apartment in season two of And Just Like That was like the smoking in season four of Sex and the City, maybe, when Aiden tells Carrie she needs to give up smoking in order to be with him, and she kind of quits and then pretends and starts smoking when she's walking the dog and stuff. And I feel like in a way if she had kept the apartment, it would have been like smoking while walking the dog. Do you know what I mean? That I think she felt like, if I'm going to quit this thing, I need to properly quit it. Like, I can't hold on to it. I need to actually do this for this man. Even though I'm like, I feel like Aiden is too demanding as a partner anyway. Like, I mean, about giving up smoking, but giving up your apartment is a bit much.
It's hard because I always was so into Aiden when I was younger, and now I'm like, yeah, he's really annoying and he has the same jacket as my dad, which is totally grossing me out. But what about the, he was going to come, he was like, look, I'm going to come to your party. He was going to come, and then the whole thing with his son, whatever. But what do you think about, like, I think it's truly lazy script writing that they've brought Aiden back. I think they literally were like, they should have a Carrie dating, because it finally got good again to me when Carrie was... met the guy in the emergency room, had that funny scene with him on the phone. I was getting into that stuff with Carrie, and I was like, just let her date again. And it's just like, they're like, we know the fans of Aiden. They did the same for the second movie, which was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Terrible.
And they're really like, terrible. We need Aiden to be back. And then they brought him back, and suddenly they're just together. Like, there was, I just don't
really
understand.
There was no build-up, and I didn't really understand, like, when they met up, it seemed like she was going, I'm meeting Aiden for a drink. And then they were just together from that moment, instead of going, oh, you know what? I thought it was going to be a friendly drink, but it seems like there's something between us. And then we're going for a coffee, and then our hands are touching. Like, there was no build up. And I know they only have 10 episodes to go on, so they're trying to pack everything in. But I didn't believe in their romance at all. But I think there's something about Carrie. Like, Carrie has always been a bit of a prude. And I wonder if, like, this might be completely unfair, but I attribute some of that to Sarah Jessica Parker. And I'm like, she must want this character to be quite, like, self-righteous and kind of, you know, to have principles, basically. And I wonder if there was some kind of balking at the idea of this widowed woman then just dating around casually. Like, in a sense, did they need to kind of give her a great love again to make her seem, I don't know, worthy of being the main character? Like, there was something weird about it to me that I was like, it's like they never want Carrie to seem like she's being slutty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Because I was also really recently watching season one again. And they weren't shy about her having really casual sex. I don't know. I think that it was just fan service. I think they're just like, we need Samantha back. We need Aiden back. Like, Kim Cattrall said, basically the head of HBO phoned her and said, like, how much money can we pay you to do a scene?
I wonder how much money they paid her. And it was crap.
It was so funny because me and my sister binged the last three episodes together. We stored them up. So in fairness, it was quite a fun evening. And we truly, even though I knew Samantha was coming back and had actually seen pictures of her in the car, in the outfit, we both forgot. So when she showed up, we gasped and we were so happy. And then I have to say, it's pathetic. I fell for it, but I was happy to see her. Even though what's very sad is that, you know, they hate each other in real life and they won't film together.
I would love her to be back, but I felt like, again, they just kind of glossed over the fact that they're not speaking. They haven't spoken in ages. When was their reconciliation? She sent flowers for Big's funeral, right? Only flowers, but was going to fly to New York for Carrie's apartment. Like, apartment goodbye. That was just so weird to me.
It, like, bizarre,
you would fly for the funeral.
Yeah, bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. And also, she's like, I was wondering when they reconciled as well. And one of the reasons I was most upset with season one, because Samantha was always my favorite character, and I always loved Samantha and Carrie's relationship the most. I was very upset in season one when they just said, well, I sacked Samantha as being my PR agent. And then she was so angry that she flew to London.
They did her so dirty. They did her character so dirty. Would never have happened.
Never would have happened. And also, didn't she live in LA? So between LA and New York, why would she suddenly be like, I'm moving to London now. I'm never speaking to Charlotte again. I'm never speaking to Miranda. And I felt like the three lead actresses, the scene where they all talked about the character Samantha as, and they were their characters, I felt like it was like some form of bullying that I was watching happening on screen towards an actress. And it really turned me off, that whole thing. And it's one of the reasons I hated the show so much. I still, though, I want her back. Like, I feel like they've done this now in season two, right? Because I think, again, they thought the season was probably going to end. The show was going to end. I think now they have to bring her back to season three, or because they've brought Aiden back, they brought Samantha back. Like, what can they do to make season three an event? Who's left to bring back?
Know.
Skipper?
I don't know. And I don't know how.
Trey. Maybe Trey. Because Charlotte mentioned him a couple of times this season.
Did she? No. Come back in what capacity?
She mentioned, I always wanted to stay friends with Trey and he didn't want to. And she mentioned him again. So I wonder if, because Harry's a buffoon, right? And every scene at this point when Harry and Charlotte come on screen, it's just like clown music. Like, they've made Harry absurdly unattractive. The only thing I can think of is Trey coming back next season. But even then, the fans aren't waiting for Trey.
No, I feel like Harry... and look, a lot of the characters on this show, or a lot of the actors who are featuring on the show, have had work done to their faces since then, right? And I'm not judging them because they live in Hollywood. Listen, because they live in the world, right? Who among us hasn't gone, oh, I'd look better if I got a bit of Botox, or I got a bit of this, or I got a bit of that. Something Harry has done to his face has, like, he's had some facelift that has smoothed out his whole face except his eyes. And there's just something very weird about, like, it looks like he's wearing a mask of his own face now or something. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, I used to think Harry was really, really cute. And now there's just, he just looks wrecked all the time as well.
I can't tell what it is about him. I think it's that when, I think why we can't find him attractive anymore is, and I actually didn't really notice that about his face. I just noticed he looked a lot older. But what I find him so attractive is he walks into the room and, like, clown music plays and he does something silly. Like, they've not made him a romantic lead.
I'm sorry. His storylines, the bit about his sperm going back up into his penis. Like, what? Yeah. Why did I need to even know that was a possibility?
And, like, they dressed up as the Americans for that costume party. And it was just like, he's just a fool. Like, they've made him a fool. So, yeah, I think the other, while we're on Charlotte, like, basically Charlotte's plots this season were she got on a MILF list at school. She decided to go back to work. And instead of, we've both worked after having children and I've certainly never taken, like, 15 years off work like she did. Mm-hmm. And, like, it is really nerve-wracking going back to work. You're worrying about your confidence. You're worrying about your ability. You're worrying about leaving the kids. You're worrying about lots of things.
Oh, and they made her have a storyline that she's worrying about her belly.
Her waist.
Basically.
And her waist and what she weighed and that she went on a bone broth diet. And I just thought, they don't know what to do with Charlotte when she's not trying to get married. Because she was either always trying to get married or get pregnant, right? They were her plots.
But I actually
they just
loved
can't
Charlotte.
Do anything with her now.
No, I know. But I liked her in this season because I felt like, you know what? Like, I did find... I mean, look, I know we're all supposed to be in, like, a post-body issues world, right? Where we're like, give them more to do than go on a diet. But, like, a lot of us are still going on diets and are still worrying about our waists. And for a lot of us going back to work or going back into the world after having a baby, that is what you worry about. And I know she wasn't immediately postpartum, like, her kids are grown up. But I actually felt like, even though that was kind of I wanted more for Charlotte, but I want more for us all. And I felt like that was actually quite realistic, that is something that you would be worrying about. I liked her storylines with the kids. I liked her kind of, you know, trying to get condoms for Lily. I like her Harry's acceptance of Rock's gender identity. I think they seem like quite cool parents. I was wishing Harry wasn't wearing so much tailoring. Actually, the two of them, I would like them to just relax a little bit and not in a, like, at home with Ralph Lauren way, but actually just, I feel like they're always too buttoned up, literally and figuratively. So
it's
I would like to see
them
chill out.
And her friend Lisa Todd Wexley, like, it's too much. Like, I actually don't believe that that women in their 50s are walking around 10 hours a day in stilettos. It's just not, it's not possible. Like,
maybe they have that thing. You know, you can get Botox apparently in the balls of your feet and it stops them hurting when you're wearing heels. So maybe they're doing that.
I haven't been able to wear a stiletto or wanted to since my early 20s. Like, I gave it up. Like, it wrecks your back. It wrecks your hips. I know Carrie had her plot with her hip replacement last year, my favorite scene of all time is Miranda and Jay having sex in the kitchen while Carrie.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was good, actually.
That brings me joy. I need to watch that scene again. Okay, so that's, we slightly different opinion on Charlotte. The other plot line is that she got really drunk, didn't tell anyone where she was, and then seemed to be outraged that they were concerned about her safety. Now, again, I do think, if you've been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, you've always collected your kids from school, you've always done everything for them, for you to suddenly be like, I'm uncontactable and unavailable and you can fuck off if you're looking for me, seems like a strong reaction from Charlotte.
Okay.
Like, what I mean?
I know that seemed to come around, like, it seemed to go from that to that, right? To go from, like, I'm available 24/7 to all of a sudden I'm out and I'm drunk. I think we were meant to believe that this has been a couple of weeks of her going, Harry, you need to bring the school bag into school. Harry, you need to do this. I'm at work. Like, we're both at work and we're equal partners, blah, blah, blah. So I think we're meant to believe that this has been building up for weeks and that on this day was the day that she just went, I've had enough.
Right.
So,
but they didn't You've made a leap to think that. It wasn't presented to us that way. You're giving the benefit of the doubt to the writers.
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, but I think that's what they were trying to convey with that whole episode was almost like you were meant to believe that this has been building up, because she's mm-hmm. been back at work for a couple of weeks, right? Like, we're meant to think.
I have no idea. I know she sells painting to Sam Smith.
Time, so this is brings me on to the show.
Before we get to it, Miranda, I really want to talk about, this is the main thing I want to talk to you about. The timeline of it, just like that, makes no sense. So Miranda and Che got together, what, midway through season one, maybe? Towards mm-hmm. the end of season one?
I think
midway. The last episode of this season, Miranda and Che specifically say they've been together 8 months. However, okay. Dr. Naya Wallace, at the beginning of the series, was married and trying to get pregnant with her husband. At the end of this series, he's got someone so pregnant that they have a baby shower.
But hang on, what's the timeline? Wait a second. Did Big? Oh, so Big died at the start of season one, right? Mm-hmm. And was it midway through season one that they did the time jump forward?
Yeah, she was writing her book, and they did a time jump. But Miranda wasn't with Che yet.
Okay, so Miranda got with Che after the time jump.
Yeah. Okay, basically, okay. Miranda and Che were purportedly together 8 months, yet Dr. Naya Wallace's husband has a full-on pregnant girlfriend about to give birth by the end of the season.
Well, if they were together 8 months, I think that Dr. Naya Wallace and her husband broke up way before Miranda and Che broke up.
So you think the last episodes, or the second last episodes, whatever it was in this one, had a time jump in, like the first one, but they never showed us it?
No. But what I think is that Dr. Naya Wallace and her husband broke up like towards the end of season one, right?
Mm-mm. No, start of season two. She was on a video call with him. He was with some girl in the hotel room.
Okay, so let's give them all the benefit of the doubt as well, right? Let's imagine Che and Miranda are together 3 months by the end of season one. Uh-huh. Dr. Naya Wallace and her husband break up at the start of season two. Che uh-huh. and Miranda are together another 5 months, and then they're now broken up, what, 3, 4, 5 months? So if he got with somebody and then got pregnant within 2 or 3 months, that could be mm-hmm. realistic.
Okay. You've talked
sorry,
about
I'm like, again, though, sorry, I mean, I'm not being paid by HBO Max to like to defend the timeline.
You shouldn't have to work this hard. No, there's ways of marking the passage of time visually for us, and the show doesn't do any of that. They could even be like, it's the beginning of the school year for Lily, now it's the end of the school year.
Or it's winter, like, there's nothing. Or it's summer, or
Whereas I did like how when Carrie was writing her memoir that the seasons change outside the window, I had, and I love Carrie at that window, like, it's so iconic. Okay, well, Miranda that kind of is reminds the character.
Me, but hang on, that Carrie at the window kind of reminded me of Bella in Twilight, you know, when Edward's left her and she's sitting at home and the seasons are changing around her head. I felt like that was a little bit too Twilighty for me. Anyway, sorry, Miranda.
Miranda is the one that is just, there's just so much to talk about with Miranda. Okay, so Miranda, as we knew her in Sex and City, is dead, right? We now have somebody who leaves her phone on in a studio recording of a sitcom. She drops her phone in seaweed when she's doing a beach cleanup and then is like hysterical for a whole episode. One thing that's very similar to her, though, in the original season to Sex and City, remember she had tried a threesome and failed. She tries again in this one and fails. She is not designed for threesomes. She has a whole strap-on plot. She gives up life as a high-powered lawyer where she was like some sort of partner, only to become a lawyer working for free. Very confusing. She also was just so rich that she moved to LA, has no income, and it's just loaded.
Yeah, where did she... Well, I suppose she was a partner in a law firm. Brady, what, is like 19 now? How many years are mm-hmm. we supposed to believe have elapsed between Sex and the City and this? Like 15 or something? Like quite a lot, right?
I think Lily was a baby when Sex and the City ended, right? They just adopted her. And then now she's 17.
Oh, she's 16. Okay. So like 15 years. So Miranda could technically have saved up a lot of money, right? And then
one of our listeners messaged
money.
Me because I was giving out on Instagram about it. One of our listeners messaged me saying she would have been really rich if she was a partner in a huge law firm.
If she was a partner, and Miranda strikes me as somebody who'd be good at investing. I didn't mind.
But then why can't she afford her own apartment? Why is she living in her mate's spare room?
Yeah, that was, well, I suppose being able to afford to live with your partner in LA is very different to being able to afford to live on your own in New York, though, right?
Yeah, okay.
Like New York real estate is kind of crazy. And I think also she was in a very in-between period where she wasn't really sure what she was doing. Oh, no, sorry. She was waiting for Steve to move out of the house because she was keeping the house, remember? And Steve just wasn't moving.
I love that for Steve. The one who's cheated on is not the one who's to leave the house. That's my
verdict. Also cheated on her years ago. And like, she didn't
cheat
on him.
They got back together.
Yeah, they got back together. But she didn't just cheat on him. She discovered this whole, I'm like, I am being paid by HBO. She discovered this whole new side of herself where she's like, I suddenly am attracted to this non-binary person, and I might be gay and I might be bi and I might be queer. And, you know, I want to explore all these things. Also, I found Steve. I always really liked Steve in the series, but in this, I found him incredibly unattractive. I don't know what it was. I was like, I love this from Miranda. I didn't love Che from Miranda, but I'm like, okay, leave Steve. I love this story. And I did actually love the storyline when she met the writer and then went back to the writer's awful apartment.
That. Any
but that
scene
also seemed realistic to me as well, that I was like, people live in shitty, tiny apartments in New York.
And any scene where there was a dating scenario happened is when this show absolutely peaked this season. So Seema and the guy who had to blow his willy up, Miranda going on that date, and Carrie with the A&E guy. Like, the show is at its best when people are dating. But that's to bring it back to Miranda and Steve for a second, though, I'm happy for Miranda. She's exploring her sexuality and all that. But Miranda did cheat on Steve, and she made such a song and dance about him cheating on her. That's where I think a lot of people are like, did she have a lobotomy? Because it just doesn't track with how anti-cheating she was. Like, if she wanted to hook up with Che, that's fine. But, like,
I do think there's
break up with your husband first.
Yes, look, totally. Like, I'm not defending cheating. Totally break up with your husband first if you're having these feelings and you want to explore. A part of me does feel like cheating on somebody, as he did, with somebody in a bar when your child is young, seems to me kind of less forgivable than, we've been together 15 years, things are quite stale, we're not sleeping together, we're not really getting on, and I've met somebody and I've fallen for them. Like, arguably it's a bigger betrayal because you've been together longer and you trust each other not to do that. But I also feel like it's slightly more understandable to me. Like, I can see how in that situation you would cheat, whereas Steve kissing someone in a bar, I'm like, what's the point? Sleeping with somebody, I'm like, that's stupid.
But you know where I think the whole Steve cheating plot was stupid, because it was fundamentally unbelievable to me that the character of Steve would cheat on the character of Miranda. And it was them trying to have a big story for the first movie. And it really worked, like them meeting on the Brooklyn Bridge and forgiving each other. Like, it was a good emotional arc for what was a terrible film. But I always thought it was the writers. I feel like a lot with this, you can feel when people are writing things that aren't true to character. Because what I think is way more true to characters is that Miranda would have cheated on Steve.
And I don't think it's very true to character that she would have gone to a beach cleanup.
I know, it was all of Miranda trying to find herself was so bad. Like, she tattooed her initials on her wrist. Like, okay, you've got tattoos. What do you rate her tattoo as?
I mean, look, I don't like to judge other people's tattoos because it's between you and your God. But if any character on this show was going to get their own initials tattooed, it would have been Carrie.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, no way would Miranda, like, she even would have got Brady. Like,
but then she wants to find herself at the end, you see, when she's doing her interview for the BBC for some inexplicable reason. I don't understand why she was doing that. She looked at her wrist, and I'm such a schmuck, I actually cried. It gets me then. I'm just a loser for this show. Like, I'm trashing it, by the way. I watched every episode. I'm happier leaving this than I was season one. Like, season one was...
I would watch this every season until I die. Yeah.
Miranda 100%. Was absurd, though. Like, Miranda, particularly the beginning of this season, it was truly like, who am I watching? I've never seen this character before. Having seen six seasons of a TV show and two movies of her, I don't know who I'm watching.
When she was putting up with Che, inviting their friends over to play video games until 4 a.m. I was like, Miranda would never. But listen, can we just focus on the important parts? Her outfits were very good this season.
I enjoyed it when she became more like corporate Miranda again and started wearing the pantsuits and dyed her hair red again. I'm really pleased to see that.
Yes.
I
love the red hair. She had some great dresses in the last couple of episodes and some good coats.
Yeah.
I think her fashion, I think her fashion is the best. Her fashion is like what I would wear if I worked in like a high powered corporate. I mean, what I like to think I would
wear.
What
you think you'd wear, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else's outfits are patently ridiculous. I'm like, Carrie invites her friends over for dinner and literally is wearing Oscar de la Renta. Lisa Todd actually like falls asleep in her living room wearing head to toe Prada. Like, you're like, this is ridiculous. But Miranda, I felt like, okay, this is what you would wear if you had money and you know, that's what you looked like and that's where you worked. I felt like that was realistic and in a good way, like very good.
Yeah. And I think she's found herself again, because she was always such a career woman. She has found herself again by going back to work, even though she's technically an intern who's doing someone's mat leave. I really didn't understand what was happening in that scene.
I didn't understand what was happening or how it happened. I was like, this just, somebody who had been a partner in a law firm would not come in, even if it's human rights law, it's different law. You would not come in as an intern. It just would not happen.
No. So, and also, like, it's just the writing, it's the minutiae of the show where the writing's very poor, right? Like, the woman says to her, oh, I'm going on mat leave tomorrow. Will you be my mat cover?
Yeah, tomorrow.
That's not
I
how
know.
It works. I know. And then she comes back and Miranda's like, oh, you're back from mat leave already. She's like, yeah. You would yeah, tell yeah. her
I
you'd
took,
have a handover
I took two
already.
Seconds. I know. I did like the storyline where the two younger interns were sitting texting about Miranda in front of her. Because I
yeah,
felt like
that
was that would have been very true to like somebody in their 50s sitting with two people in their 20s and being paranoid, even if they're just looking at TikTok, being like, mm-hmm. oh my God, why? And like also, why are they on their phones? We're having lunch. When I feel like
yeah,
people in their 20s are on their phones 24/7. So like that felt good to me.
And I also enjoyed that she's like, what were they like? They're like, hey, we've been here 12 months and you've only been here 2 minutes. And she, and it's like, yeah, but she's like a 40-year law career behind her or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to quickly get on to it because I can't keep you all day. We do have different time zones here and Rosemary's gone off to a book club. Okay, I think we've talked a bit about Shay. What I will say is it remains true to both season one and season two. Shay's stand-up is awful.
Oh. Awful.
It's diabolically unfunny. However, I actually am much more warm to Che this season because I felt really bad for them about the sitcom and how the writing was messed. Because that seems really true of all writers, like that your sitcom and your shows will get messed around until they don't resemble what you wrote in the first place.
And you get built up and you get promised the world and then it's like, oh no, it didn't get picked up. See you later. I like Che more this season until the final or the second to last episode when they did the stand-up and I just was like, oh, this is... And it felt really nasty to me because
so
I felt
nasty,
like Che,
yeah,
I felt like Che had kind of redeemed themselves and like, you know, had this whole kind of, like it was a redemption arc when they were working at the animal shelter. And I'm sorry, then at the very end, Che hooks up with the young, incredibly good looking person who just walked into the animal shelter, fancied them and then followed them home from their comedy night.
Ridiculous. I don't think followed home.
I mean,
think
walked
Che
them home,
it.
But like,
yeah. I think what I liked about Che is I just love the actor. Is it Sarah Ramirez? I just think they're awesome. So I think if they didn't have that actor, they might have canned the character after season one because it was a very, like, everyone finds Che so annoying. However, what I think is absurd is that Che was working in an animal shelter this season. I appreciate they had a crisis of conscience and their, whatever, like the sitcom didn't take off and maybe you can't even afford your apartment and you have to Airbnb it out. But then when Che was like, I finally made enough money to pay my rent this month. I'm like, that's impossible that you made enough money to pay rent on that apartment working in an animal shelter. It's just not possible. And again, it's an example of like, they do too much. Like, let Che be a character that pops in and out. We don't need to follow Che working in an animal shelter.
Yeah, we don't need
shelter.
To know the ins and outs of their
it's
life.
There's way too much going on.
Yeah, because even like it would have been realistic if Che was like, I'm working in an animal shelter. I'm helping write, you know, I'm helping doing some writing on this show. I'm doing some like writing for this stand up. I'm doing some support acts. But we also, Che's not enough of a character to see all that. So you're right.
Yeah.
Just leave it out. And we could have imagined that they were doing that.
And even when Che was finally like watching old footage when they were like presenting as female and talking about female dating and stuff. And I was like, okay, so Che's getting their groove back. They're going to finally have some good stand-up. And then it's just a nasty burn of Miranda. And then I'm like, what's Che's arc here? And then Che's like, I'm sick of always doing what other people want. I never do what I want. It's like, what do you want to be nasty about Miranda?
I mean, they're all annoying. But I think that was Che's almost rejection of that version of themselves. That when they were watching that video, like the look on their face was very much like, oh, I was pretending to be so straight and I was really... You know, I was really playing up my femininity and that's not who I am. And they were basically going, I'm just going to be who I am. But did it in a very reactionary way that like in my 20s, I would have been like, I'm just going to like speak my truth. And I would have been an asshole to people. You know what I mean?
But
I had definitely
like
those moments.
40s. But yeah,
but they're definitely immature, right?
I did see Sarah Ramirez though coming out and saying, look, basically implying that they have an issue with how the show is writing the Che character just in terms of they were saying something like on Instagram like, don't blame me for the words that my characters are speaking, they're written by a cisgendered man, which I thought was interesting. Okay, quickly onto Lisa Todd Wexley, right? So I googled Lisa Todd Wexley after the end of the series. Lisa Todd Wexley's like 56,
right. She's meant to be 56 in the show.
I don't know what age she's supposed to be in the show. I was so confused by the pregnancy plot. I was literally like, this show is about women in their 50s, right? That's the premise of the show.
You're right.
Why is she pregnant?
Well, now, I did read something somewhere that may or may not be true. I'm not a scientist, so I'll say this with a pinch of salt. That apparently when women go through menopause, there's a couple of months or a year or so before that when their fertility is actually really high, right before menopause begins, Okay. Am I making that a conversation? There is a possibility, but I thought
wouldn't they have been
true.
Like, again, it's the show trying to shoehorn plots in for people. Like, that's a really, like, that's a fucking nuts. Like, you're 55, you're pregnant. Maybe she's playing 45-year-old. Even then, it would be like, wow, you're 45, you got pregnant naturally by accident. That's pretty unusual. The whole plot was just like, you should have got a vasectomy to her husband. They never use the word abortion when they're clearly talking about abortion.
Oh, no. And I actually
weird.
Really didn't like that when he said, like, oh, we should talk about the other thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what? I just didn't believe
it. But, like, throughout the whole show, if I had the time, I'd go through it and like see how many times they use the word abortion in Sex and the City, because it was a lot. So for them to not want to say it in this one is ridiculous.
The whole thing was absurd. And then it was just conveniently for the character by the end of the episode had a miscarriage. So I was just like, what was that? Like, why was that plot in the show? It served no purpose other than to be really odd, confusing, and just trying to shoehorn a plot in for her. That, again, was unnecessary. Because what's actually... what's very interesting is that she's like apparently an award-winning documentary maker, but all she does is sit in her closet and try on really nice clothes and go to like PTA meetings with Charlotte. But
you know what? I do think that whole episode was kind of talking about the role that women play in their families and to their partners. So mm-hmm. I felt like I definitely agree with you. They did shoehorn it in and it was a weird choice, but I think they did it for her to talk to her husband and be like, well, you're not going to step up. I mean, also unrealistic. You're just going to hire another nanny, Lisa Todd Wexley. Like, you've plenty of money. You were going to figure, you know, it would have been fine. You would have figured it out. But I felt like, even to go back to Miranda for a second, Miranda then kind of making up with Steve and going to his like Coney Island restaurant or bar, whatever it was, and saying, I want you to be in my life. And then Brady weirdly cycling by and smiling lovingly at his parents. I was like, that would never happen. What child in the world even recognizes their parents as people with feelings and would go, so nice, they're getting along? You'd just be like, ugh, mum and dad, gross.
I think though, if in fairness, now if you're 19 and my parents are divorced, if I had seen my parents have a tender moment like that, I'd have been like really happy at that age.
Oh, would you? Okay, well, yeah, maybe.
Because
I don't
if they're divorced,
my parents have gross tender moments all the time, so I'm just like,
yeah, because they're married and they've just come through a really acrimonious divorce, as I remember. So
that's true.
Why he happened to cycle back at that point though was unfathomable.
Okay, and he wasn't wearing a helmet.
Yeah, and I appreciate the point, like, again, because I've been watching old Sex and the City just torture myself alongside the show. They always had a themed episode, right? Whatever the theme of the episode would be. Like the firefighter episode with Samantha recently, where it's all about women being rescued by men, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this, again, if they're trying to theme an episode around women doing too much work in the home, they didn't manage it, because it was just Charlotte and Lisa having their own little subplots about it.
No, it was Charlotte and Lisa, and then it was Miranda basically making up with Steve, and the show kind of making that about how they were like, inadvertently doing that for Brady, that it was going to make him much happier, and it was like sorting out their home and family life. And then also Carrie had bought the apartment for Aiden and his boys to come and stay with her, and then ended up basically sacrificing Aiden to his kids, even though they weren't her kids. So I felt like that all kind of followed through, you know what I mean? Maybe
oh,
I am
we haven't
reaching,
even talked about that like... Aiden was literally like, I'll see you in 5 years, and
I know.
Was like, cool.
I mean, look, like, if in season 3 we come back and Carrie's like, I'm still waiting for Aiden. So either they're going to have a 5-year time jump and Aiden's going to be back on the scene, or I'm really hoping she's going to be dating again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's just her waiting around for Aiden, like, shoot me now.
I just really think that they should have. I appreciate them bringing Aiden back, right? I mean, Aiden stan. I always thought she should have picked Aiden over Big. But I think they should, if they were planning, I don't know how many seasons this they're planning, but like, end with Aiden, but don't bring him back in the middle. Have
I
them
know,
get
and,
back together
and then
him
boot
say,
him off again.
I'm sorry now, like, I have a kids. Like, I appreciate the concern for his child's welfare, but like, why Carrie can't come and visit him in the farm is
because he'll think about it too much,
Kathy.
Just
makes no sense.
I'll just be thinking about you. What? Like, that's what happens in a relationship.
By Sarah Jessica Parker Sanders, though, they actually had a very raunchy sex scene then.
She took her bra off. There's no bra.
I was literally
for the first
shocked.
Time ever. Yeah.
Shocked. Okay, we few more characters to talk about. Seema, we've both said, is our favourite. But I think it's because Seema is basically Samantha and we're desperate for Samantha. That's my
I
feeling
love Seema, but I do feel like her whole arc through the whole thing has been like, I've focused on my career and I'm incredibly successful, but I've never fallen in love, and that's what I really, really, really want in life. And then she finally falls in love with a man who falls in love with her, and he asks her to go to Cairo with him for only 5 months.
Yeah, 100%.
And she's like, I'm not throwing away my career for you. And you're like, it's called a career break, Seema.
Exactly.
It's not even that long.
You're self-employed.
I don't
it's
know
not
why
throwing
she
away
would
your
have gone
career.
With him. It made no sense.
No.
Zero.
But also they rushed that. Like, he was introduced, he was in it for like two episodes. Again, mm-hmm. if you want to give Seema this like great big love of her life plot, you want it to be a real deliberation about whether she goes away or not. A bit like probably Carrie and your man the Russian.
Yeah.
Build up to it. Don't just have him on his phone all the time. So us characters were like, who's this asshole?
And I did love when she accused him of being on TikTok and he was like, I haven't ticked or talked.
Yeah, I like that as well. But it's just, again, it's an example of a completely undercooked plot that then boils yes. over. She's like, I'm not going. And yet in the next scene, she's in Greece with Carrie. So I'm like, I saw Michael Patrick King saying that he always envisioned the end of season two being Carrie and Seema on a beach in Greece. Why?
Well, he really shoehorned that in, like... There was a really convoluted way of going about that. They surely could have just gone on a holiday together without having to be like, we have no men, let's go to Greece.
And like, I'd much rather them go to the Hamptons like they planned and like have a great summer of dating. I love the Hamptons episode of Sex and the City. Okay, Dr. Naya Wallace, love her. Again, didn't see enough of her. Remember in season one, and it's so long ago, I was reminding my sister and she was like, I had completely forgotten. Remember in season one when Miranda was like, went into her lectures with yeah. a series of microaggressions and was like really racist to her.
I know, and she's now her best friend. I know. But actually, I also think the show did Naya Wallace dirty in this season because towards the very end, you know when she, like, does she get some fellowship or something? And she basically is like, nah. My ex-husband's having a baby. No, I don't care about this. And then she's like, but this chef. And she's basically yeah. more excited for this chef to come in, like asking, mm-hmm. can I have some food? She's like, sure, come in. I'll make you something. She's more excited about that than she is about winning whatever accolade she won. So I'm like, that's
something
not
really
true
important.
To the character.
Yeah. And she's, well, see, I don't know if it's not true to the character because we don't know the character. Because all we know about her is she's a shit hot law professor. She was trying for a baby. She inexplicably lets Miranda live with her.
But and I think in being a shit-hot law professor who works at NYU, that's enough to know about somebody that you would be very happy to win this award. Do you know what I
that
mean?
That is very
like,
true.
You
yeah.
Like, fine if she was just as happy to meet this hot chef, right? They could be mm-hmm. on a par, but she literally was like, 1 out of 10 excitement for the award, 25 mm-hmm. out of 10 excitement for this guy to come in and make her some olive yeah. foam. Disgusting.
That being said, he is super hot and I was thrilled when he showed up as the Michelin star chef. Because I had actually said to my sister, who didn't remember, I was like, that guy from CSI or whatever he's from,
yeah,
he was
has
in
to come
an
back.
Early episode. He has to
yeah,
come back.
Yeah.
So I was waiting and then again forgot about it, much like I did with Samantha. Okay, I'm sorry, there's still characters for me to go through here. Lillian Brady, what the fuck?
Oh, I didn't, I, pass, pass.
The show is like, doesn't know what, they're like, should they be characters in the
no.
show? Shouldn't
as
they be?
I would say, as I would say to my Google speaker, next track. I don't even
like,
want to discuss it. I
season
just...
one, we saw Brady all about condoms. Season two, we're seeing Lily all about condoms. Now they're potentially hooking up.
Sorry,
it's
Brady's
just so
like super horny. And they also have one super horny character in every season, actually. And it was Brady in season one and it was Herbert in season two. And I'm not okay with it. I just need these
is
horny
Herbert?
Men to go. Herbert is Lisa Todd Wexley's husband, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I just need the two
you know
of them to bug off. Gross.
I do cry easily then, though. And when Herbert and at the dinner party, when she was saying, you know, they all had to say one word. And she said, like, forgiveness or forgiving herself or whatever. And he got really choked up and couldn't speak. And then I did cry. So I'm such a pathetic.
I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like, pathetic, Kathy. I also, sorry, just to get back to that dinner party, when Carrie was like, one word only. And then she gave a fucking speech at the end. I was like, that is so Carrie. That is
yeah,
so Carrie.
Then that Jay. Was good writing. Yeah. Because that was yes. actually good writing because Carrie would do that.
Yeah. And
do you
then
know what I mean?
Jay said, Carrie, that was way more than one word, which I was so glad because everybody was being so earnest at that moment.
Yeah. See, basically, whenever Carrie does something where she's an absolute wreck the head, I'm like, that's exactly true to character for Carrie. Like, she, that is Carrie.
Yeah, but the one thing that I had a problem with was when Miranda was basically like, I can't come to your dinner party because of what happened with Che. And Carrie was there when Miranda saw Che doing their terrible stand-up about how she mm-hmm. dated a straight woman. Sorry. Carrie was there when Miranda saw Che doing their terrible stand-up about dating a straight woman. Mm-hmm. Or, like, dating a formerly straight woman. So for Carrie to be like, you have to show up to my dinner with Che, I would have been like, Carrie should have called Che and gone, hey, after that stand-up, you can't come. Miranda's yeah. my best friend. You basically destroyed her in front of a room full of people. I'm really sorry. I still love you. I still want to be your friend, but you can't come to this dinner. That would have been totally reasonable.
But Carrie, that's what a normal person would do. But Carrie is the most selfish character on TV. Do you know what I was remembering watching that? Because me and my sister kept pausing it to chat, right? And the bit about Aiden and remember... I was like, remember when Aiden bought the apartment next door, he bought Carrie's apartment, they're going to knock the wall through together. Then Carrie was like, I can't have this. I'm going to buy my apartment back. And then Carrie emotionally blackmailed Charlotte to give her her engagement ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really weird.
But that's Carrie's vibe. Like, imagine telling your friend that, like, they owe you money because they got it. They got divorced and they have a ring they didn't pay for. That was like, Carrie's awful.
I can totally imagine guilting a friend into lending me money if I was like, look, I know you just got that big inheritance and I need $5,000. I'll pay it back to you over
two.
I can totally imagine doing that.
There was some implication she was going to pay it back.
Yeah, but this, like, would have been like $50,000, right? It wasn't a cheap ring.
And also, once the thing is, it's different for to ask a friend to loan you money, but she was asking her to sell her engagement ring and then give her the money. And that's actually not her business to do.
And Carrie should have sold her shoes. Go on.
Final character to get to, and I have to say I really enjoyed this plot, Anthony and the bottoming. I thought that was really fun. Again, that's like a Sex in the City plot, right? Like, there's actual sex involved, there's a relationship involved, there's a bit of fun. Stanford becoming a monk, okay, I kind of enjoyed that too. I think it's a nice nod to that because the actor passed away. Didn't mind any of it.
Stanford becoming a monk, it was a nice moment that Carrie and Anthony had where they kind of said goodbye to Stanford, but I don't know, becoming a monk seemed a little bit far-fetched, but I suppose they had used up all their possible, right? Big's dead, Samantha's fallen out with them and moved abroad. Like, they've used up the two main ways you can axe a character. So, like, how do we get rid of Stanford in a way that seems kind of vaguely realistic? But I actually, you know what? I would have preferred if Samantha had been the one to go to, like, a silent ashram and been like, you know what? I'm sick of everything. I'm going to live in Bali for the rest of my life and I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm taking a vow of silence. I would have felt like that was more realistic for her character than to fall out with Carrie and Miranda and Charlotte.
And to move to London. Like, it's very difficult to relocate, right? And also, like, Samantha's business is PR. Her business was her contacts book, right?
You
can't actually relocate as a PR professional in your 60s to another continent.
No, how would she have got a visa as a PR person in her 60s to go to the UK? I mean, I know she's a lot of money, but, like, I don't understand how that would have happened. Yeah, I did really
She says flat now. So she's English now, you see. She says flat.
Oh, but I think that was because she was doing the joke about the English accent at the end, wasn't it?
I truly have no idea. It was 72 seconds and I don't know what was happening in them.
I did like the Anthony and his Italian boyfriend storyline. I felt like it was an interesting storyline because, like, previously the gay men in the show have really been accessories to the straight women and haven't really got their own shows and haven't got, like, there have been no issues or questions that would be pertinent to the queer community that have been brought up at all. So I felt like even the question of Miranda going, like, what do I define myself as, and then Anthony being like, could I be a, like, flexible top, I don't know, I'm too old to try new things. So I thought that was interesting. I did like that. I didn't like Anthony's face at the end when he was trying the bottoming because he just looked so uncomfortable and every part of me was, like, clenching.
They had made a joke though about the guy's thing was, like, absolutely massive.
Oh yeah, because he went on the Drew Barrymore. There were a lot of cameos in this movie. He went on the Drew Barrymore show and everybody could see his dick through his pants. Yeah. That was obscene.
See, that kind of Sex in the City, when it's just purely about sex, I do enjoy it. I loved seeing this plot with the guy and the blow up Willie.
And then when he was horrified when she took out the vibrator, man.
I know. And that was just such a Samantha scene, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something I want to briefly talk about, and I know you're going to have to go soon, but I really think a lot of people have taken a lot of objection to the fact that when Carrie said in one of the episodes, was Big a big mistake? And people are just like, what the fuck? We've spent a whole season and a half grieving this guy. You hinged the show on them ending up together. The movies were hinged on their relationship. Other than it being a good line, because if you use the word Big twice, what the hell? Terry White wrote a brilliant article about it in her Substack that I thought was fascinating about all the reasons why Carrie would have never said that. Miranda's even like, what are you talking about?
I don't think Carrie would have said that because I think Carrie is the least self-reflective person on the planet and is very much like, I made that decision and that was the right decision. However, do I think Big was a big mistake? Probably.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I mean, I think he was shit. I think also they kind of shoehorned him into, like, the good husband role as well. He became quite boring when he wasn't boring. He was this, like, man about town who was always out and flirting with different women. And, like, that would have been a constant issue in their relationship. And like, I don't mean to say that he should have cheated on her in the storyline, but I think that should have been part of it where she was like, oh, you're going out again. And him being like, oh, well, I'm going out with clients or I'm going out with partners or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
Just so more realistic. I always felt like he wasn't that into Carrie, but she was into him.
I don't think he was that into her at all.
I think the show's retrofitting because of all the stuff that came out about Chris Noth. Or Noth, I don't know how to say his name.
Maybe, but
I think the show is trying to get rid of him.
I think it would have been interesting if Carrie, at this point in her life, had suddenly gone, you know what, I spent so much of my life pursuing men who didn't pursue me enough. And should I have actually gone with the man who was really, really into me rather than the man I had to pursue? And that would have been an interesting question. Rather than, I think it was oversimplified, going like, did I make a big mistake? Should I have chosen Aiden? And you're like, instead of going, you know what? I had this man who has always adored me. And then I had this other man who I basically had to convince to adore me and who like jilted me at the altar. And, you know, I think that would have been an interesting way of framing the question. And then we could all conclude that actually maybe, yeah, you should have chosen Aiden. And it's interesting that you're now coming to that conclusion too.
Yeah.
But I also think it's interesting as well because, I mean, Irish people are very bad for this in particular, I think, but we're so reverent of the dead. They're so like, never say anything bad. Like, you know, if somebody's husband dies, you're like, oh, they're never going to criticize him again. So I think it was interesting that she was like, you know what? He wasn't perfect after he's dead, because I think that's something that people very rarely do in life or in TV and movies, because you just don't want to, like, you know, speak ill of the dead.
So but I think, then again, the show does something and then doesn't go under the surface of it at all. Carrie and Aiden are just together now.
She can't. It has 17 other characters to deal with.
Exactly. Like, even when Che goes, why did you two not work out? And she's like, I made a mistake.
But oh, and then they start snogging in the kitchen right in front of Che. It was so awkward.
And why is Aiden, come back so dumb? Where they've been like, you can't talk to people in this apartment because Che will get evicted. And Aiden's like, best mates with the doorman.
I talk to everybody.
I just don't get it. They're trying to make Aiden like super unsexy. Like, I know he used to wear tidy whities and have nap hair and stuff, but he pulled it off age.
He has a great bod. I was thinking when they were having the sex scene last night, I was like, he's looking very good.
John Corbett's been getting in shape. It's a big year for John Corbett because he's also back in My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh,
so he's suddenly back from obscurity. I saw a trailer for that in cinema. Okay, finally, what I want to talk about, two things. Firstly, the show's pushing on an hour each episode, too long.
I think it's too long, yeah.
It's both too much and too little all at once. And then what would you, if you were in the writer's room, what would you change about season 3? What would you do to make the show better? Because I think about this a lot. Way more than I should.
Interesting. Okay, I think I would get rid of all the kids. The kids can all go away to college. I don't care about the kids. I don't want to see any storylines with them. I don't like.
Also, Rock's only storyline was to be a model this season. Made no sense. That was
Model and also to need their binder, right? I really need my binder for history class or something. Charlotte, you need to leave work and bring it to me. But also, I would like, realistically, for them all to admit or for them all to get help. Like, Harry and Charlotte would have a housekeeper who came a couple of hours every few days, and that housekeeper could bring, or a personal assistant, the housekeeper or the personal assistant could bring Rock their binder. You know, so I would like to see Lisa Todd Wexley and Herbert have some help around the house so that she wouldn't have to constantly be given out to him for doing fuck all. I would like to see Herbert getting a little bit less horny. And I mean, I don't care about Herbert at all. I would like to see him fuck off, actually. But like, I don't really think we can kill off any more characters.
I don't mind Herbert the way you do, actually. I just think the show is so overstuffed. If I was in the writer's room,
I think he's useless. Go on.
Bring the episodes back to half an hour because they were really tight. It reminds me of like with Arrested Development, the way it used to be really tight. Then it went on Netflix. The episodes were longer. It became really bad. Make them half an hour like they should be. Focus on 4 plots every episode that actually link into a theme. Because like if you think about it at the end of every episode, you're like, wait, what just happened? What did I watch? And have dating in it and have sex in it. That's my advice for the writers.
Okay, but the only character, well, Miranda, we can have
Miranda's dating,
in the next
again,
season.
You see.
Yes, we can
so
have
I think
Miranda.
I want Charlotte and Harry to break up.
Oh!
I want Charlotte and Harry to break up. I can't stand him. He's just so boring and
he's
like.
He's really
goofy.
Boring and insipid, but there's nothing, no, Kathy, there's nothing to imply that they're going to break up. They're very much still in love.
But what about my plot about Trey coming back?
Even if he did come back, I don't think Charlotte would be fancying him. Like,
I love that she gets to keep his apartment, though, and that they just live in it now. I still enjoy that plot.
Yeah.
Okay, at least one of the trio. Amazing. Miranda dating. It now appears like Seema's... I hope Seema and her boyfriend broken up next time we meet Seema, because Seema's our Samantha. And I want them to bring Kim Cattrall back, even though I know she'd hate it and it would be awful, but I still want it to happen.
I just want Kim Cattrall to suffer. Come back and suffer for me.
What if they brought Richard back for Kim Cattrall?
No, he has to be looking terrible now. I don't think that would work for TV. I would like to see Professor Nia Wallace dating, because I know she met this guy that she I would like to see her dating, and I would like to see her having a baby on her own, is what I would like to see. That I think that would be an interesting storyline for the show, to have someone having a baby on their own and then being a single mother and dating. I think that would be interesting. So I'd like to see that. Harry and Charlotte can stay together. I don't really care. I mean, Charlotte should open her own gallery. Harry should retire, and then he should just be at home and be the house husband. They don't need any more money. Miranda, I do want to see her dating, but I just, sorry, I don't want to see Cynthia Nixon do any more sex scenes. I think between Sex and the City and this, I've seen enough sex scenes from Cynthia Nixon for my whole life.
Oh, we forgot about her core plot of the season, which is where she tried to get into like a flotation device and then screamed and got out of it again. And that was her whole plot in one of the episodes.
Like, but that was actually gas. And I did enjoy the kind of physical comedy of that.
It's just like, is this what Miranda's been reduced to though? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think it was to show Miranda trying new things and then being like, no, this isn't me.
Okay, yeah, okay. I want to see Miranda dating men, women, non-binary people. I want Miranda out there just on the dating scene. I'm enjoying all of that stuff. Maybe dating someone much younger than her. That could be interesting as well.
I'd like to see Carrie go back to dating that guy who she basically nearly killed on his bicycle. Because I thought she was very quick to dump him for basically being, what, in demand at work.
I'd like to see Carrie just dating loads of people. I don't understand why she can't just be dating. Yeah, I just want dating. Basically, dating is my memo. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
I couldn't be happier that you came on. But can will you tell our listeners briefly about your book that was in the best-selling charts in Ireland this summer, which is so cool?
Yeah, my book is called This Is Not About You. It's a memoir, or a menoir, because it's a memoir about my life in told through a series of men that I've dated. My mother's absolutely horrified, but she has read the entire book, and she said she thought it was good, but she didn't know why I had to include so much puerile detail. So if you like Sex and the City, you'll probably like it. Actually,
I think our listeners are going to like it, and I'm so annoyed because I bought the ebook and I haven't been able to figure out how to get it on my Kindle yet.
I'm at
the technology stage where I can't marry the two, and I have my mother
Charlotte and Harry at the end of season 2 trying to set up her iPhone.
I'm just going to buy the actual copy if I can figure it out, because I subscribed years ago, because what I think a load of our listeners would be really interested in is, because I know loads of our listeners are like creative and writers, Rosemary self-published it through Unbound, so I paid money years ago for it to like you support something before it's published.
Yeah.
And then I got the ebook, and then it's all been downhill ever since when I've tried to get the ebook on. So I'm just going to buy the book, I think. But it's so cool. So every chapter is about a different man, Rosemary said it. It's so Carrie Bradshaw of you.
Oh, well, did she inspire you? Slightly less exciting, I think.
When you were younger and you watched Sex and City, like I would have done, like in school, were you like, I'd love to be a writer living in New York? Because I sure was.
Oh my God. I was like, I'd love to be a writer living in New York, getting paid what she's getting paid to write for Vogue. Whatever. What was it, like 50 cent a word or something? Ridiculous.
She, and I think this is such a problem with the latest. Like, Carrie used to be, lived in a rent controlled apartment, not of that much money, but getting by on her column.
Yeah. And like scraping her money together to buy her Manolo. Yeah. Like, that was interesting. Yeah.
It's all, now it's just like, I think part of me is just like, when a character's so rich, like a millionaire like Carrie is, where she basically gives an apartment away to someone.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be invested in them. I just struggle with that when someone's that rich. And they're all that rich. But in terms of, that like wannabe a writer in New York, it's so cool that you basically got your book self-published through Unbound, but then your book actually got into the bestseller charts. It's so cool. Well done.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing.
Very impressed. And will you also tell our listeners about your new podcast?
Oh yeah, well, my new podcast just wrapped season 1, which I'm referring to unofficially as the Smug Married season. So I have a new podcast called Meet Cute, where basically I interview people about their romantic histories, like I wrote about my own in the book. And by accident, the first series has ended up being 8 people who are all married. So that's why it's being called Smug Married. So I'm hoping if I do a season 2, I'll be able to do the like chaotic dating season, and maybe the It's Complicated season, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, we'll see.
And like the bitter divorcee season.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good point. I must write that down.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll link to it in the show notes though. And have you heard of a podcast, just because I think you'd really like it and our listeners would as well? It's called She Wants More.
No.
And it's all about women who enter into affairs.
Oh,
fascinating. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All different results of having
that.
Affairs, all the good, the bad, and the ugly about having affairs. And I feel like it's in the vein of Meet Cute. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Rosemary, all the way from Fort Wayne.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
Sitting here with you is like 10 years just.